It's Jared and Katie in the morning on the number one hit music station, 107.5 KZL, having a great conversation off the air with one Lisa Lanier.
I love talking to Lisa, don't you?
We can't talk to her enough, our official attorney of Jared and Katie in the morning. Oh, good. You don't have to say that.
You don't have. Don't feel obligated, Lisa. Don't.
No.
You're the one that has.
I think we're going to try to have lunch here in a little bit. Hopefully, Joe will be reaching out to you about that. Hey. I enjoy you guys very much.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Just so you know, we're in.
Yeah, we're good.
We're in.
Awesome.
Our schedules are free and clear.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to do it during the show, we don't care. Our listeners won't even notice that we're gone.
Whatever you want to do.
Do it on the air, whatever you want to do.
Good.
All right. This story it cracks me up, although it's real. And I know people face this. I know we've had listeners who've emailed us before and said, hey, I got a guy, an ex-boyfriend. He won't leave me alone. I catch him outside looking through my windows. Or people they don't even know.
Peeping Toms.
But Katie, you want to just go over the story real
quick?
Sure.
It was he was 52.
Yeah, he's 52.
He was 52,
yeah.
And it was a man found in a septic tank. And he was found, this is the gross part. Now, a lot of it is gross, but he was found by a 7-year-old girl who was using the bathroom. And police were called, and when the officials arrived, they actually found him standing with his head and shoulders out of the septic tank covered in fecal matter. And he claims he was there to do a job. Right? He was claiming that he was there to do a job.
Yeah, he's like, I'm
the plumber.
I didn't do anything.
But clearly this guy was a peeping Tom. He has a lot of issues going on. Mainly he's just a pervert.
It's so gross. It's so gross on so many levels. And he also claimed that his girlfriend hit him over the head, knocked him unconscious,
right,
and stuffed him into the septic tank.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a huge guy.
Oh, yeah. He's like 300 pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah, he weighs like 300 pounds. He's like 6'2 or something. He's a huge guy. And he had no signs of any kind of head trauma or anything consistent with that. I mean, he's just a big old perv. And he's covered in poo, which is kind of appropriate. But,
right.
But the sad thing about this is that these are very serious criminals oftentimes that are leading up to a more serious sex crime.
Yeah.
And these are misdemeanors. These peeping things are almost always misdemeanors. So these folks get away with a real slap on the wrist.
Is that why we often, sorry to interrupt you, is that why we often hear about this was not his first offense? It's because they don't really get in trouble the first time.
They don't. They don't really get in trouble for just peeping. And even here in North Carolina, there was a change, I was saying, about 5 or 10 years ago, because there was so much peeping going on that involved video cameras and in sort of use of surveillance equipment to do really, really intrusive kinds of peeping. And so that law changed and made it a felony if you use video equipment. But just to be a regular peep in the window kind of person is still a misdemeanor, which seems really crazy to me.
Yeah. You're spying on someone's personal life and property and body.
No. Absolutely.
It does make sense that, I mean, this is leading to something else, especially, like you said, I mean, if you're going down into a toilet or a septic tank.
Yeah, septic tank.
I mean, you are so depraved.
You really got to want it.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing, you're not like, no, I wouldn't do that. You don't have standards at that point. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-mm.
No, and the fact that it culminated in this little 7-year-old girl, he was peeping at a 7-year-old girl going to the bathroom, that is so sick.
And it's disgusting.
And, you know, it really does show that there's something going on in his brain that's not right, because you do have access to certain things on the internet. There are places you can go where you can watch certain things live. I mean, you have...
I mean, not child stuff,
not child stuff,
but
no.
Yeah.
But you do have access to certain things.
And he has a girlfriend. Who's that?
Yeah, who's she?
Right.
That's the gross part.
There's a lot of gross things about this story.
There's a lot of gross parts. Never mind.
Yeah, my favorite thing that I saw written about this was where they were calling him a poopetrator.
Yes!
He'd be popular in prison.
I love that one.
Or not.
Right.
Now, let's say, for example, if you suspect someone of being a peeping Tom or someone that won't leave you alone, what would be the first thing you can do? Because, I guess it would be hard to prove, really, unless you catch him in the act, right?
Absolutely, yeah. You have to catch him in the act. And, absolutely calling 911. Some people go so far as to set up their own video. You know, it's so easy now to do video with your phone and stuff. So.
Right.
I think if you can capture some kind of evidence like that, that's the best thing to do, because even though the penalty is not great for it, it's still you want that person to establish a record in case they are moving on to more serious sex crimes.
All right. We're talking to the president of Lanier Law Group, official attorney of Jared and Katie in the Morning, Lisa Lanier. You can contact her 1-888-CONSULT, with She Has Offices Statewide. Check it out online, 1075KZL.com, keyword Lisa. If you're injured on the job, Lisa Lanier is the one you want to go to. Katie, what do you want to say?
Yeah, I just have one more question. Okay, so let's say that I catch somebody
peeping.
Yeah, peeping, spying,
getting their
peeping
on
me, and I'm able to catch them, and I have proof, and I go and I get a restraining order. How long is a restraining order good for? I mean, is this something I'm going to have to keep going back and back and back for?
Well, you know, a lot of times, and you're kind of, there's kind of this overlay here where, and a one-time peeping thing, you might not even be able to get a restraining order in that situation because that's a one-time peeping thing is sort of a whole different crime than stalking and that sort of thing. So really, in order to get to qualify under a stalking type of a situation, there would have to be repeated offenses. But once you get that in place, you know, once somebody is truly stalking you, then I think that's good for quite some time. I don't think you have to worry about renewing that or anything.
Okay.
So it's once you get that person identified, but they're really, for them to be stalking you, there really has to be more of a pattern.
Okay, got it.
Got it. Not that I have a stalker or anything.
Well, she did, Dingy McClingy.
Dingy McClingy
was. She's given up.
He's moved on.
Or he's given up.
He's moved on.
He might be a she now because he's, he's just given up on life. We'll tell you more about him some other time, maybe at lunch.
Some other day.
All right, Lisa. Yeah. The George Zimmerman case, the defense rested yesterday. And at the end, I believe we have audio here. We'll play it for you real quick. Where they're trying to rest, you know, they're trying to finish their case, and the judge was like, "Are you sure, George Zimmerman? Are you sure you don't want to testify? Are you sure?"
Yeah, asked him over and over.
And here is the judge talking to the defense attorney, who, by the way, started with a knock-knock joke.
You're aware that during this trial, you have the absolute right to remain silent. You do not have to say anything, do anything, or prove anything. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And have you made a decision, sir, as to whether or not you want to testify
Your
in
Honor,
this case?
I object to that question.
Okay, overruled. Have you made a decision as to whether or not you want to testify in the case?
I object to that question. I think that's Mr.
Overruled.
Zimmerman.
The court is entitled to inquire of Mr. Zimmerman's determination as to whether or not he wants to testify.
I object to the court inquiring of Mr. Zimmerman as to his decision about whether or not to testify.
Your objection is overruled.
What was that all about?
What is with this dude?
Or even the judge. I mean, I thought you just say, the lawyer tells the judge he's not going to testify. I don't know why she kept going on and on about it.
It was a bit unusual, and I think she was trying to make sure that if on appeal he said that his lawyer denied him the ability to testify.
I see.
A lot of times, if you appeal a criminal conviction, one of the biggest, best grounds is the inadequacy of your counsel. And so one of the big issues oftentimes is the criminal defendant saying, look, I wanted to testify, and my lawyer told me I couldn't or I shouldn't. And she wanted to make sure, I think, that she put it on the record in case there is an appeal, that it was his personal decision.
Mm-hmm. What does your gut tell you? I mean, I know,
you know
with
I
juries.
Like the prosecution. I think the odds are with the prosecution big time here.
Really?
I think to lose. I thought you said who's going to lose. Yeah. I don't think they're going to convict him.
I agree.
I think there's reasonable doubt that's just been thrown all over the place here. And, you know, it started, I think, with the one of the strong things that I saw that day was when you had all these people saying, no, it was his voice, no, it was his voice.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think, you know, you had a very strong witness who was the most neutral witness that you've had, who was the neighbor who said that Zimmerman was on his back, and that Trayvon Martin was beating him, and I think he called it MMA style. And, I think that witness was probably the strongest witness. And I just think there's so much reasonable doubt that's been thrown up all over the place here. And I think the prosecution acknowledged that yesterday when they asked for lesser-included offenses.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And I read this morning that the judge told the jury yesterday that they're in for it today, a long haul today, closing, right?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. And for the prosecution to end the day asking that the jury be allowed to consider aggravated assault, I think that is a big indicator that they realize that they're not going to be able to carry their burden.
Oh.
It's been interesting, and now they're talking about race riots if there's not a conviction. So we'll keep you up to date on this, but it's crazy.
Yeah, I think if they convict him, it's purely because these women on the jury just went completely emotional on it, which was, I think, one of the things that they were hoping from a prosecution standpoint is that this young boy, you know, this sort of need for vindication that people sometimes get this very emotional feeling when they're on a jury. But I think if they really weigh the evidence, I think there's reasonable doubt just thrown all up in there.
And I've heard that from every legal analyst on TV and everywhere you turn, everything I've read agree. So we've been talking to the president of Lanier Law Group, one of our favorite people just in general, official attorney of Jared and Katie in the morning, Lisa Lanier. Real easy to contact, 1-888-CONSULT. She has offices statewide, 1075KZL.com, keyword Lisa. If you're injured on the job, get in contact with Lisa Lanier. As always, Lisa, we appreciate it.
Thank you.
Absolutely. You guys have a great day.
You too.